Harry, as we continue our study, the doctrine of salvation, we're beginning lesson number 7 at this time. We're on tape number 4, side 1. Last time we were looking at the method of justification, and that would be, if you have your course outline in front of you, currently we're under Roman numeral number 4, under C, the method of justification, and we want to continue our study there. Last time we said justification is apart from any work of the law, the Ten Commandments, Sabbath keeping, the Sermon on the Mount, the Golden Rule, etc., etc., but is only obtained by faith in the finished work and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we were looking at some verses last time, and I want to pick up and look in Romans chapter 1 for a moment, in verses 16 through 17. Romans chapter 1. Verses 16 through 17. Paul wrote to the believers in Rome. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, I just want to comment about those verses and how it applies to our lesson here, and as we look at the method of justification. We see in these verses that Paul affirmed his confidence. He said, we see what a testimony that Paul had. "I'm a debtor, I am eager, I am not ashamed." Why would Paul even be tempted to be ashamed of the gospel as he contemplated his trip to Rome? For one thing, the gospel was identified with a poor Jewish carpenter who was crucified. The Romans had no special appreciation for the Jews, and crucifixion was the lowest form of execution given a criminal. Why put your faith in a Jew who was crucified? Rome was a proud city, and the gospel came from Jerusalem, the capital city of one of the little nations that Rome had conquered. The Christians in that day were not among the elite of society. They were common people and even slaves. Rome had known many great philosophers and philosophies. Why pay any attention to the fable about a Jew who arose from the dead? Christians looked on each other as brothers and sisters, all one in Christ, which went against the grain of Roman pride and dignity. To think of a little Jewish tent maker going to Rome to preach such a message is almost humorous. But Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He had confidence in his message. And he gave us several reasons that explain why he was not ashamed. Now, the origin of the gospel, it is the gospel of Christ. Any message that was handed down from Caesar would immediately get the attention of the Romans. But the message of the gospel is from and about the very Son of God. In his opening sentence, Paul called this message the gospel of God in Romans 1:1. How could Paul be ashamed of such a message when it came from God and sent it in his Son, Jesus Christ? We see, too, also in our verse 16, the operation of the gospel. It is the power of God. Why be ashamed of power? Power is the one thing that Rome boasted of the most. Greece might have its philosophy, but Rome had its power. The fear of Rome hovered over the entire empire like a cloud. Were they not the conquerors? Were not the Roman legions stationed all over the known world? But with all her military power, Rome was still a weak nation. The philosopher Seneca called the city of Rome a cesspool of iniquity. In the writer, Juvenal called it a filthy sewer in which the dregs of the empire flood. No wonder Paul was not ashamed. He was taking to sinful Rome the one message that had the power to change lives, amen. He had seen the gospel work in other wicked cities such as Corinth and Ephesus, and he was confident that it would work in Rome. It had transformed his own life, and he knew it could transform the lives of others. There was a third reason why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. The outcome of the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. The word salvation carried tremendous meaning in Paul's day. Its basic meaning is deliverance, and it was applied to personal and national deliverance. The emperor was looked on as a savior, as was the physician who healed you of illness. The gospel delivers sinners from the penalty and power of sin. Salvation, in fact, is a major theme in this letter to the Romans. Salvation is the great need of the human race. If men and women are to be saved, it must be through faith in Jesus Christ as proclaimed in the gospel. We see the outreach of the gospel in our verses. It's to everyone that believeth. This was not an exclusive message for either the Jew or the Gentile. It was for all men, because all men need to be saved. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, we're commanded, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Was Christ's commission, amen? To the Jew first. This does not suggest that the Jew is better than the Gentile, for there is no difference in condemnation or in salvation. The gospel came to the Jew first in the ministry of Jesus Christ and the apostles. How marvelous it is to have a message of power that can be taken to all people. God does not ask men to behave in order to be saved, but to believe. It is faith in Christ that saves the sinner. Eternal life in Christ is one gift that is suitable for all people, no matter what their need may be or what their station in life. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 is the key verse of the letter. In it, Paul announces a theme, the righteousness of God. The word righteousness is used in one way or another over 60 times in this letter. Righteousness, just and justified. God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel. For in the death of Christ, God revealed his righteousness by punishing sin, and in the resurrection of Christ. He revealed his righteousness by making salvation available to the believing sinner, amen. The problem, how can a holy God ever forgive sinners and still be holy, is answered in the gospel. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, God is seen to be both just and justifier. The gospel reveals a righteousness that is by faith. In the Old Testament, righteousness was by works. But sinners soon discovered they could not obey God's law and meet his righteous demands. Here Paul refers to Habakkuk. The just shall live by his faith. This verse is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Romans explains, the just, Galatians explains, shall live, and Hebrews explains, by faith. There are more than 60 references to faith or unbelief in Romans. See, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Testament, the just shall live by his faith, but in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Jesus Christ, amen. When you study Romans, you walk into a courtroom. First, Paul called Jews and Gentiles to stand and found both guilty before God. And then he explained God's marvelous way of salvation, justification by faith. At this point, he answered his accusers and defended God's salvation. This plan of salvation will encourage people to sin, they cry. It is against the very law of God. But Paul refuted them. In so doing, he explained how the Christian can experience victory, liberty, and security. Amen. Also, we want to look, as we continue to look at the method of justification, and we continue to look at some verses of Scripture, turn with me to Romans chapter number 3 in verses 21 to 30. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. So we see that all men obtain righteousness, obtain justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 23 of Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, both Jew and Gentile alike, everyone is a sinner. Then we see verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We didn't have to pay anything for this justification, amen. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost God a great price in the sacrifice of his only begotten Son on Calvary's Hill, amen. Whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation, and we'll talk about propitiation in detail later on in our study, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works, nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude a man is justified without the deeds of the law. And that goes along with, as we talk about the method of justification. Amen. Justification is apart from any work of the law. Amen. A man is justified by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, believing on Christ, without the deeds of the law. No works are included. It's Jesus Christ. The method of Jesus Christ, or the method of justification, is Jesus plus or minus nothing. Jesus and Jesus only. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. So God is the God of everyone. And there's only one way for a man to be justified in this age of grace, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. Then we read in verse 30 of Romans 3, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Amen. By faith and through faith. The Jews are circumcision. The Jews by faith, and the uncircumcision, which is a Gentile, through faith. Again, we're looking at the method of justification. Now let's turn to the chapter 4 of the book of Romans and verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. This verse makes it very clear that our works are not counted for righteousness, but his faith, our faith is counted for righteousness. Faith in him that justifieth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we see in, I want to look at, just for a moment, comment some more on Romans chapter 5 and verse number 4. We also see that Romans 4:5 makes a startling statement, does it not? God justifies the ungodly. What the law said was, I will not justify the wicked. The Old Testament judge was commanded to justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he asked God to condemn the wicked and justify the righteous. And we see that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. But God justifies the ungodly because there are no godly for him to justify. Amen. He puts our sins on Christ's account that he might put Christ's righteousness on our account. What a blessing. Amen. Again, we're looking at some verses on the method of justification. Now we want to turn over to Romans chapter 5. We see a lot of the book of Romans is talking about the doctrine of salvation and the justification and so forth and so on. And what you're going to find as we go through this study, that a lot of verses overlap, are used to cover salvation and the eight doctrines that deal with salvation. Amen. As we go through them, justification, amen, adoption, imputation, sanctification, as we go along, you'll see that regeneration, reconciliation, propitiation, redemption. A lot of the verses that we discuss cover all of these eight doctrines. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Praise God that we will be saved from wrath through him. Amen. We see in these verses the blessing of justification. Amen. In listing these blessings of justification, Paul accomplished two purposes. First, he told how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Our justification is not simply a guarantee of heaven, as thrilling as that is, but it is also the source of tremendous blessings that we enjoy here and now. His second purpose was to assure his readers that justification is a lasting thing. His Jewish readers in particular would ask, can this spiritual experience last if it does not require obedience to the law? What about the trials and sufferings of life? What about the coming judgment? When God declared us righteous in Jesus Christ, he gave to us seven spiritual blessings that assure us that we cannot be lost. We see there in verse 1 of Romans 5, peace with God. The unsaved person is at enmity with God because he cannot obey God's law or fulfill God's will. Two verses from Isaiah make this matter clear. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked, Isaiah 48:22. In the work of righteousness shall be peace, Isaiah 32:17. Condemnation means that God declares us sinners, which is a declaration of war. Justification means that God declares us righteous, which is a declaration of peace made possible by Christ's death on the cross. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other, Psalm 85:10. Because the law worketh wrath, nobody condemned by the law can enjoy peace with God. But when you are justified by faith, you are declared righteous, and the law cannot condemn you or declare war. Amen. We also see that in the passage that we just read, Romans 5, verses 1 through 9, there in verse 2, we have access to God. The Jew was kept from God's presence by the veil in the temple. And the Gentile was kept out by a wall in the temple with a warning on it that any Gentile who went beyond would be killed. But when Jesus died, he tore the veil and he broke down the wall. In Christ, believing Jews and Gentiles have access to God. And they can draw on the inexhaustible riches of the grace of God. We stand in grace, not in law. Justification has to do with our standing. Sanctification has to do with our state. The child of a king can enter his father's presence no matter how the child looks. Amen. The word access here means entrance to the king through the favor of another. By whom we have access, by faith, into this grace whereby or wherein we stand. Amen. Then we see again in verse 2, glorious hope. We have peace with God. Peace with God takes care of the past. Amen. He will no longer hold our sins against us. Access to God takes care of the present. We can come to Him at any time for the help we need. Hope of the glory of God takes care of the future. And one day we shall share in His glory, amen. When we were sinners, there was nothing to rejoice about, amen, because we came short of the glory of God. But in Christ, we can rejoice in His righteousness and glory, amen. And Paul amplifies this in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 30. And then in verses 3 and 4 of Romans 5 that we just read, we have the Christian character. Justification is no escape from the trials of life. In this world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33. But for the believer, trials work for him and not against him. No amount of suffering can separate us from the Lord. Instead, trials bring us closer to the Lord and make us more like the Lord. Suffering builds Christian character. The word experience in Romans chapter 5, verse 4 means character that has been proved. The sequence is tribulation, patience, proven character, hope. Our English word tribulation comes from a Latin word, tribulum. In Paul's day, a tribulum was a heavy piece of timber with spikes in it, used for threshing the grain. The tribulum was drawn over the grain and separated the wheat from the chaff. As we go through tribulations and depend on God's grace, the trials only purify us and help to get rid of the chaff. Amen. Then in verses 5 through 8 of Romans 5, we see God's love within. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, Proverbs 13:12. But as we wait for this hope to be fulfilled, the love of God is poured out in our hearts. Know how the first three of the fruit of the Spirit are experienced: love, joy, and peace. Before we were saved, God proved His love by sending Christ to die for us. Now that we are His children, surely He will love us more. It is the inner experience of this love through the Spirit that sustains us as we go through tribulation. Faith, hope, and love all combine to give the believer patience in the trials of life. And patience makes it possible for the believer to grow in character and become a mature child of God. And what we have also, we see, is salvation from future wrath. Paul argued from the lesser to the greater. If God saved us when we were enemies, surely He will keep on saving us now that we are His children. There is a wrath to come, but praise the Lord, no true believer will experience. Paul further argues that if Christ's death accomplished so much for us, how much more will He do it for us in his life as He intercedes for us in heaven? Saved by His life, amen, refers to Romans 4:25, raised again, on the account of our justification, because He lives, we are eternally saved. Amen. What a blessing. Again, as we're going through our lesson here and we're looking at the method of justification, Now we want to look at Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, in verse number 4 with me. Romans 10, verse number 4. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. So there is no law. We're no longer under the law. Amen. Christ was the end of the law. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Righteousness now only comes. Again, we're looking at the method of justification. Righteousness only comes in the person of Jesus Christ, no longer through the law, amen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11. Romans 6, verse 11. Romans chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. And what Paul is writing here to the Corinthians about is there was a great deal of sexual laxness in the city of Corinth. It was a permissive society with a philosophy similar to that which the world has today. In other words, sex is a normal physical function, so why not use it as you please? Paul pointed out that God created sex when he made the first man and woman, therefore he has the right to tell us how to use it. The Bible is the owner's manual, and it must be obeyed. God condemns sexual sins. Paul named some of them in 1 Corinthians 6, 9. In that day, idolatry and sensuality went together. Effeminate abuse is described the passive and active partners in a homosexual relationship. And in 1 Corinthians 6, 10, pointed his finger at the members guilty of sins of the Spirit, those suing each other because of their covetous attitude. But God can also cleanse sexual sins and make sinners into new creatures in Christ. He says, you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified. The tenses of these verbs indicate a completed transaction. Now, because of all that God has done for them, they had an obligation to God to use their bodies for His service and His glory. Amen. Again, we're looking at the method of justification, and we're looking at some verses here that build upon our study here. Amen. Let's turn now to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter number 2. In verse number 16, Galatians chapter number 2, in verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now this verse is very clear. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ and not the works of the law. So when you're dealing with a lost person that wants to go on and on and on and on and tell you what they've done and how good they are, this is a wonderful verse of Scripture to bring home the truth that their works cannot save them, that they're justified by faith. Amen, in Jesus Christ. So we see here justification by faith is proclaimed so clearly. And this is the first importance, or the appearance of this important word, justification, in the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. Justification, amen, was the watchword of the Reformation, and it is important that we understand this doctrine. How shall a man be just with God? Was a vital question that Job asked, because the answer determined eternal consequences. In the age of grace, the answer is the just shall live by faith, is God's answer. And it was this truth that liberated Martin Luther from religious bondage and fear. So important is this concept that the three New Testament books explain its use: Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. Romans explains the meaning of the just, Galatians explains shall live, and Hebrews explains by faith. But what is justification? Justification is the act of God whereby he declares the believer, believing sinner, righteous in Jesus Christ. Every word of this definition is important. Justification is an act and not a process. No Christian is more justified than another Christian. Having therefore been once and for all justified by faith, we have peace with God. Since we are justified by faith, it is an instant and immediate transaction between the believing sinner and God. If we were justified by works, then it would have to be a gradual process. Furthermore, justification is an act of God. It's not the result of man's character or works. It is God that justifieth. It is not by doing the works of the law that the sinner gets a right standing before God, but by putting his faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul will explain later in this letter, the law was given to reveal sin and not to redeem from sin. God in his grace has put our sins on Christ, and Christ's righteousness has been put on our account. In justification, God declares the believing sinner righteous. He does not make him righteous. Of course, real justification leads to a changed life, which is what James chapter 2 is all about. Before the sinner trusts Christ, he stands guilty before God. But the moment, the instant he trusts Christ, he is declared not guilty and can never be called guilty again. Amen to that. Justification is not simply forgiveness, because a person could be forgiven and then go out and sin and become guilty. Once you've been justified by faith, you can never be held guilty before God. Justification is also different from pardon, because a pardoned criminal still has a record, amen. When the sinner is justified by faith, his past sins are remembered against him no more, and God no longer puts his sins on record. Finally, God justifies sinners, not good people. Paul declares that God justifies the ungodly. The reason most sinners are not justified is because they will not admit they are sinners, amen. Did you ever try to deal with someone about their sin and witness to them? Oh, they'll say, I'm not a sinner. I never murdered or raped anyone, amen. And sinners are the only kind of people that Jesus Christ can save, amen. When Peter separated himself from the Gentiles, he was denying the truth of justification by faith, because he was saying, in essence, we Jews are different from and better than the Gentiles. Yet the Bible tells us both Jews and Gentiles are sinners and can be saved only by faith in Christ. Amen. All righty, let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. In the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Now, we see the word heathen as used here simply means Gentiles. Paul's quotation of Moses in Genesis 12:3 proves that from the very beginning of Abraham's relationship with God, the blessing of salvation was promised to all nations of the world. God preached the good news to Abraham centuries ago, and Paul brought that same good news to the Galatians. Sinners are justified through faith and not by the keeping of the law. The logic here is evident. If God promised to save the Gentiles by faith, then the Judaizers are wrong in wanting to take the Gentiles believers back under the law. The true children of Abraham are not the Jews by physical descent, but Jews and Gentiles who have believed in Jesus Christ. All those who are of faith or believers are blessed with believing Abraham. Amen. All right, Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Let's look at that just for a moment, that verse of Scripture. In this verse, in verse 14, which we didn't read, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, we see the law was given to reveal sin. It is here that we see the way that law and grace cooperate in bringing the lost sinner to Jesus Christ. The law shows the sinner his guilt, and grace shows the forgiveness he can have in Christ. The law is holy, just, and good, but we are unjust, unholy, and bad. The law does not make us sinners. It reveals to us that we are already are sinners. The law is a mirror that helps us to see our dirty faces, but you do not wash your face with the mirror. It is grace that provides the cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a lawful use of the law, and there is an unlawful use. The lawful use is to reveal sin and cause men to see their need of a Savior. The unlawful use is to try to achieve salvation by the keeping of the law. When people claim they are saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, they are revealing their ignorance of the true meaning of the law. The law concludes all men under sin, Jews and Gentiles alike. But since all are under sin, then all may be saved by grace. God does not have two ways of salvation, amen. He has but one, faith in Jesus Christ, amen. So we see, by the Scriptures, Galatians 3:22, but the Scriptures hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That's going to end our lesson number 7, tape number 4, side 1. And when we meet again in lesson number 8, again we'll continue to look at some more on the method of justification.